Hello and welcome to Plot Tris.
This is Meg.
This is Lane.
And today we're talking about Talk Sweetly to Me by Courtney Milan.
This was published in 2014 and is the fourth and a half book in the Brothers Sinister series.
It's the final book in the Brothers Sinister series. We've had a really good time reading this series.
I liked it a lot.
Like, five-star series for sure. So good.
And this is a concluding novella.
Yes.
And if I have one criticism of it, it is that it is not like the epilogue novella to the series. It really is like its own standalone story with
an entirely new character. Yeah, none of the other characters appear besides Stephen Shaughnessy.
Mm-hmm.
You hear Free's name used once.
In passing,
and that's it.
So it's a strange coda.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean it's not a good book. I read it years ago.
Yes.
As a standalone and did not know.
Yeah.
It was part of another series and did not, like, and you know, this is me saying this, did not realize I was missing anything. Like, did not realize it was being referential to other books.
Right, right. It's a five-star novella.
It's great. It's just, it's not an epilogue to the series, which is what I expect concluding novellas to be.
Correct. Should we talk about the book?
Yeah.
Nobody knows who Miss Rose Sweetly is, and she prefers it that way. She's a shy, mathematically-minded shopkeeper's daughter who dreams of the stars. Women like her only ever come to attention through scandal. She'll take obscurity, thank you very much.
All of England knows who Stephen Shaughnessy is. He's an infamous advice columnist and a known rake. When he moves into the house next door to Rose, she discovers that he's also wickedly funny, devilishly flirtatious, and heart-stoppingly handsome. But when he takes an interest in her mathematical work, she realizes that Mr. Shaughnessy isn't just a scandal waiting to happen.
He's waiting to happen to her. And if she's not careful, she'll give in to certain ruination.
Dun dun dun!
It's fine.
It's fine.
Totally fine.
Totally and completely fine.
Yep.
This book suffers from what I think is a plight of the majority of novellas.
Yes.
In that, like, that's the whole plot.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, what does it suffer from?
The whole plot is just who they are as people deciding that they like each other enough to, like, want to make it work, which is adorable. And I'm not saying it's not fun to read.
I love novellas. I actually, like, I don't want to say I prefer a romance novella. But sometimes I do prefer a romance novella.
You'd prefer a romance novella if they were, on average, much sexier?
Correct, yes.
Like, the thing that you lose in the truncation is often the sex scenes, and you want, like, 14 of those.
Good point. Very good point.
So, in order to have 14 sex scenes.
What I want is a romance novella plot with 14 sex scenes.
So you want a romance sex book.
Yeah, which is, to be completely honest, like Maiden Lane.
Yeah. Your platonic ideal.
But you knew this already.
I'm shocked. What do you think about winter, Meg? No, anyway, let's not get derailed. Sorry. As usual, we generated a random number between 1 and 25 because this is a novella, and the random number we got was 2.
My two-word summary is astronomically fated.
And I think I went with a similar concept with fewer letters. Sexy math.
Nice. I like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Are there any tropes in this novella, Lane?
I mean, yes. He's a rake. She's a bookworm. Yeah. The jacket says it. Like.
And their neighbors. It's the girl next door or the boy next door, which I love.
Yes. He gets her. I don't know how to think of it. Like, there is a really deliberate gift. I feel like it's a trope, but I don't quite know how to articulate it.
Uh-huh. The gift. Yeah, it's the gift.
He's overheard that there's something she's being denied, and he goes out of his way to make it happen for her.
It's also a gift that happens in a different book by Sherry Thomas. It's like the same gift, and I love it.
Yeah.
So much. So much.
It's pretty good.
So this book. It was really good.
Yeah. So, a couple of things. He falls first.
He does. He's immediately smitten with her. He moves to Greenwich. Mm-hmm. and realizes they're neighbors, and ever since then he's just been gone for her.
And trope, he's been celibate since he's laid eyes on her.
Oh,
He's a rake who just, his dick stopped working for other people the second he met her, or he like lost interest in trying.
I loved that part of the book so much. So
You
much.
say that part of this book as if that is not like your preferred everything all the
Well,
time.
it's my preferred everything all the time, but I loved the way it came up here
Yes.
because there, so he, Stephen Shaughnessy, let's take a step back. Stephen Shaughnessy is a character that we met in the suffragette scandal. He is working for Frederica Marshall in that book as an advice columnist. His name is Actual Man.
So he's an advice columnist, as the jacket says. So his whole column is Ask an Actual Man.
And it's really wonderful, actually. I really like his columns or the columns that appear. They're super fun. It's basically just him sending up the idea of the patriarchy as an actual man, in quotation marks,
It's like,
right?
hey, everything the women are saying in this paper is right, but apparently you only listen if you hear it from a man. So here I am, an actual man, to elevate what they've already said.
Exactly. He's like, yo, you thought this was just a suffragist paper? Oh, don't worry. A man is on staff, so you know it's really legit.
If I could make one note about this book, I feel like his character, on the basis of that, should have wanted to bring women into their best selves in all aspects of his life, and I would have enjoyed a more complete inventory of his prowess at making women feel good about themselves in the bedroom.
I mean, it's passed over lightly, but yeah.
A complete inventory, Meg.
I
I want a complete inventory.
That's the downside of a novella, Lane. Anyway, in this book, he's just moved to Greenwich. He is, if you know him from the previous book, he is an Irish Catholic, but born and lives in England. He goes to mass, he goes to confession, and it comes up in, she's like, I guess you have to confess a lot to the priest. And he's like, well, no, because I moved here and I met you the next day. So it really hasn't been a lot to confess other than
Lust.
lust. I loved it, Lane.
I loved him.
I really like Stephen. I
Yeah.
really like Rose
She was fine.
too.
I say that shadily to be funny. He was the star of the book for me.
He was a big star. Yeah, he was a big star. I can't lie.
So she is only living in Greenwich temporarily, because that is where her sister and her sister's husband have made their home.
Yes.
Her sister's husband has been called away on a 9-month-long business trip immediately after discovering his wife was pregnant.
Yes, her husband is also a doctor.
Yes.
So like really shitty timing here.
Yeah. So he's been called away. So Rose goes to live with her sister during the pregnancy to sort of be her support and to help her around the house. And to Rose's benefit, Greenwich is also much closer to the astronomical observatory where she is currently working as a computer
Right. She's only able to work as a computer because she's
in
living with her
Greenwich.
sister.
Right. So the plan seems to be that after her sister's husband returns and the baby is born, at some point Rose will be returning to her parents' house in London, at which point she will not have to give up her work entirely, but give up this position.
Right.
So there's a little bit of like convenience that they're both in this location at the same time, a little bit of, like you said, fated waking. So Rose and Stephen obviously meet just like on the street. He lives 2 houses down. But Stephen, in what would be creepy if Stephen weren't hot, decides that the best way to seduce a woman is to be really interested in all of her hobbies, except it's not that like conniving. He doesn't think through how it will appear. He's just like, I like her and she likes math and I like it when she talks about math. So I should probably learn math so I understand what she's talking about when she talks to me. And oh shit, all of a sudden I'm lying about this book I'm writing so she can give me private tutoring lessons.
I should probably go to her boss and say, I want to get lessons in math. And oh, I know he's really busy, so he should have his computer give me lessons because, oh, it was my plan all along that it be her.
Yeah.
And then when he finally is in the situation, he's like, oh, wait.
This I do now understand where this is extremely creepy seeming.
It was great. One of the things we actually haven't mentioned about Rose yet is that she's black.
Yes.
It's not in the book jacket, and it does play an important role in the novella. So Rose is black. Her father is a shopkeeper, but he's also a member of the Africana League or something like that. What?
Press some sort
Af
of
yeah,
it's
yeah.
some sort of organization elevating black professionals in England. And there's a lot of doctors
Yes.
affiliated with this, and that's how her sister met her husband.
Yes.
And so what the sense you get is they are like upper echelon of black society.
Yes, exactly.
But also the implication that within black society, being in the upper echelon also means you're extremely politically active.
Yes, you're politically active, and she's kind of expected to marry one of the other scholarship students of the Africana League. And also, I think that I'm getting this name
Oh,
wrong,
you
so I'm,
absolutely are, but I don't know what the right one is, so I'm not going to correct you.
But I'm just telling our listeners, if they're listening and they're like, I just read this novella and she got the name wrong, I know that I got it wrong. So she feels maybe slightly obligated, I think, to go along with this nebulous plan of her
I
family.
don't think it's obligated so much as Rose doesn't like complicated things. It's pointed out in the book how non-confrontational she is. And she even says she wants kids, she wants a family. No one is forcing any one specific person on her. It's just this idea that she will eventually get married. And given that through her father, she's exposed to all these like great thinkers in the British black community, it's only natural that like that's where she's gonna meet her spouse. I don't think it's she's not like balking at the idea, but it's because it's so theoretical.
And it's also you can tell that she really loves doing her work as a computer, but she's also not quite at the point where she has to fight to keep to do it, right? To keep doing it. And I mean that's Rose's character, is she's really happy where she is right now, but she's not quite at the point where she thinks I have to fight to keep this.
Well, and it's also interesting because we're talking about academia in like the late 1800s, right? Which is clearly not the same as academia today. But you get the sense that Rose likes her math. And sure, maybe she'd write a paper if she made a great discovery, but you get the sense she wouldn't want to be the person on the lecture circuit. Like, that is not her personality. Not that she doesn't have the intelligence or the capability, but that, like, I don't even necessarily know that I could see her, like, as a professor. Like, she likes to do the work.
She likes to do the
That's,
math.
and so I think that's also where, in some ways, unlike a lot of the other book smart heroines we read in this era, she's not a lady who's worried about academic pursuits being unbecoming, and she's not looking to gain notoriety. She's just looking to do the thing she enjoys doing. So I think it doesn't weigh on her as heavily.
And so far, she's been fine going along to get along, right? She hasn't had to fight for that. There hasn't been something that she's felt strongly enough that she does want to fight for.
And so I think that's where it's a lot less loaded. Not to say there's no conflicts arising from it, but it's a lot less loaded than it is in a lot of other novels with a brainy heroine that we read.
And then Stephen very quickly realizes, as we said, he falls first and he wants to be with her. He's thinking marriage right away. He's not thinking, oh, I want to seduce this woman, or she's intriguing and I want to get to know her. He's really thinking, like, I want to marry this woman.
But he's coming on strong.
Yes, he is.
And she doesn't know how to read him. And so she's inevitably thinking, all right, he writes all the time about these like radical us ideas of femininity. I know for a fact he has like mistresses and women he's having sex with around society. He's like, he's notorious. So I believe this is disingenuous.
Even when they get to know each other more and she does realize that he's serious about her, she doesn't think that he understands what marriage to her would really look like. And I think I was talking to Elaine about this before we started recording, but one of the things I feel like about Courtney Milan is that sometimes she can hit a little hard on the themes that she's trying to get across. She doesn't mean I don't like the book, But does sometimes I'm like, okay, yes, I get it. Okay, in this book, you're really pushing on this specific theme.
Right.
And in this book, it's really about white privilege
Yes.
and about how Stephen might think she's wonderful, imagine a future with her. He can't truly visualize what that is.
Yeah.
And so she can't say yes to him. And I actually totally understood why she turned him down the first time. So sorry if there's, spoiler alert, they do end up together.
How dare you?
I know, sorry guys. But one of the things I really liked about this conflict is that it's not a super giant conflict.
Right.
It's really like he has his heart in the right place. I know he loves me. I know he's serious about me. I just think he has his head in the clouds a little bit and is too idealistic
To be
to be with me.
clear, that's an evolution she comes to.
Yes.
So initially, she believes him to be insincere.
Correct.
Then she's like, all right, I've come to trust you as a person, but I still don't think you understand what you're asking. And then he understands what he's asking and immediately, not just like understands, but like truly and profoundly gets it. And when he's able to express that, she's like,
Okay.
happily ever after.
And I loved it.
Oh, me too.
I thought it was just so good. And I thought it was a really nice display of Courtney Milan's skills, if that
Well,
makes sense.
and I also think what was interesting, like there's this big grand gesture in the middle of the book, and I made a joke in the notes that her love language is gifts, but what I think was really great about it is she makes it clear it's not the gift, it's that the gift shows how much he has thought about her and how much he understood her. Like it's the demonstration of knowledge of her and her preferences that the gift shows.
Yes.
That is what really gets to her. And
Yes.
I think that one gesture summed up so much about both of them. Like, I love it when an author says this thing is a big deal. And yes, Courtney Milas does put on the page why, like some of this thought process, but a lot of it is left up to the reader to like fully think through. And it really does show so much about both of their character, his thoughtfulness in procuring it, and the way they both react to it.
It's
And
so
I like
nice.
that one scene did a lot of work in this book that really I think is one of the this chapter is why Courtney Milan is a master of her craft.
It was great.
Yeah.
Trigger warning sign.
I think it's the usual Courtney Milan. Like this does not shy away from the whippings he received as a child, being a servant on a wealthy lord's land. It does the whipping, the singular whipping. It does not shy away from the reality of her being a black woman in science. It does not shy away from some of the difficulties he's had being like an Irish son of a working class person.
Or not just a black woman in science, but just a woman in science.
Or even just a black woman who's pregnant.
Yep.
That's probably the most triggery part of the book for me.
Absolutely.
Her sister, who, as we've mentioned, is pregnant, is pretty dismissed
Yes.
in her medical concerns around her pregnancy by a white doctor. And like, look, we all know where black women maternal mortality is at in America today.
I was going to say, I feel like it's the most triggering because it's not one where you can say, oh, well, that was the 1830s or the 1840s,
80s,
1880s,
1884.
whatever this book was written, was set.
Was written. It was written in 2014. We've established
Okay.
that.
I feel like it's most triggering because you can't
Yeah.
just say, oh, this was how life was like for women in the Victorian era.
Right.
This is how life is like for women today sometimes.
And yeah, it might be more egregious and direct in the book, but like the end results are the same. Like the
Yes.
concern is that her sister is going to die due to medical negligence, and welcome to being a black woman in America who's pregnant.
Sexiness Lane. Guys, this is a novella.
And it's by Courtney Milan.
It's by Courtney Milan, but it's like sexier than some of her novels.
Yeah, so I will say this, their love affair is pretty chaste because Rose is extremely innocent and extremely young.
She's not that young.
She's
She's
20.
20.
She's 20.
She's
And
20.
he's in his 30s?
No, he's like 28.
Okay, whatever. So he's like 18 in Freeze Book?
No, this is not 10 years later after Freeze Book. This is like 3 years after Freeze Book.
Okay.
He was like 25 in Freeze Book. Yes.
Okay.
He's
So
very young.
this is where I like think there was a bigger time jump, which is why I assumed he was older than he was. Anyway, so there's a scene that's a makeout dry hump.
It's a, there's some frottage.
There's some frottage. And then
There's a
full sex
full
scene
scene in
as like the
which
very
she
end.
yeah.
So I agree with you that it had more on the page.
Yeah.
I just think there was a really heavy contrast
Yes.
between all the chapters without an actual scene in them
Yeah.
and the like. This is not a lusty book.
It's, I mean, he, yes, you're right.
There are the scenes themselves,
Yes.
but it is not lusty between the scenes.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. It's not lusty between the scenes. It's only lusty between the sheets.
Whatever. One of the times is not in a bad, but
But look, it's pretty sexy in my opinion
yeah.
for Courtney Milan, especially.
And their dynamic is very well done.
I liked it. I really liked this book. It you're right that it's not like the final novella epilogue for the
Feeling.
series,
Yeah.
but as a novella, it's a five-star romance novella.
I'm just confused as to why. I mean, I know why it's in the series because Steven, but
Right.
like, it really could have been a standalone.
I think it totally could have been a standalone. It's just the same as the novella that started the series. It can be a standalone as well.
Yeah, but I feel less weird about first novellas being kind of disconnected than I do about final novellas.
That's very fair.
Like, I'm
That's
not
very
saying I
fair.
liked this any less,
Yeah.
but I'd read this before
Yes.
without context, and I really liked it just fine. Whereas now reading it, like hoping to see your favorite characters one more time,
Yeah.
like not any part of the novella itself, but just the fact that it is not a true epilogue
Yeah,
was a
I hear
little
you.
disappointing in for the piece of me that wanted to see the characters again.
Agreed. But like
Five-star novella for sure.
five star novella, you should read
And
it.
I also, I think of all of Courtney Milan's novellas that we've reviewed so far, if you've never read Courtney Milan, I think this is the one I pick up.
You could totally start here. You could
Because,
start
but I
here.
think it does a good job of getting at the way Courtney Milan tackles difficult themes. Right?
Yep, I think it does.
I think it is kind of the spiciest end of the spectrum that Courtney Milan
On
gets.
the spi yeah, on the spicier end for sure,
And
for
I think
sure.
like the characters in the conflict are really well developed and like easy to parse. I don't know, like this I think is a good entry point to Milan.
It's a good place to start with Courtney Milan. Don't skip it if you're reading the
Oh God,
series. It's
no.
very fun. It's nice. It's a nice end, even though, again, it's not an epilogue novella.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening.